I think it's weird when people say, oh, you're my hero and role model, and I'm like, I'm just any ordinary girl, like, this will probably be you in like a few years' time.
Coming up on the latest episode of the official Celtic FC podcast, we talk to two of the stars of the Celtic FC women's team, Colette Kavanagh and Chloe Craig. And the two Celtic players look forward to this Easter Sunday's vital league clash with Glasgow City.
But yeah, we are focused and we're ready, and hopefully we get the 3 points.
This is the official Celtic FC podcast.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the official Celtic FC podcast, the podcast that brings you all the news and interviews from inside Celtic Park, featuring players of the past, the present, and sometimes what we hopefully will be the stars of the future. I'm your host, Paul Cuddihy, and I'm delighted on this episode to be joined by two of the stars of the Celtic FC women's team. We're going to be looking forward to what is a big game this weekend on Easter Sunday. I'm talking about Chloe Craig and Colette Kavanagh. Welcome to the Celtic FC podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Now, I was wondering if you're still basking in the glory and the joy of that derby win nearly 2 weeks ago, which was a very impressive performance and an impressive result.
I'd say it's always a game that you're looking forward to, especially getting the result that we did. But I think at this point in the season, we can't really dwell on it too much because obviously there's important games that are coming up that are vital to us and where we want to be at the end of the season. But no, it was a good score and a good team performance, but we've just took that into the training pitch to try and better it for next time when we play them.
Because that's the thing, Colette, I was curious about, because, you know, as a fan, any derby win is brilliant. And then we're able to just enjoy that until the next derby game. But I was just wondering, as players, as Chloe was saying, you very quickly have to set that to one side because you have to look forward, because then the next game is the most important one.
Yeah, thankfully we had a free weekend and we could still like celebrate that win as much as we could. But as Chloe said, the split's here and we've got Glasgow City coming up this weekend. So we've like put that to the back of our mind and just focus on City, because we've both won one game each and we need to keep on winning the rest of the games in order to win the league. So yeah, that's where our focus is, every one game at a time, and hopefully the league will come.
Because, I mean, players always say that, one game at a time. And sometimes I think maybe people might think it's a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. Because if you either dwell on the past or you start thinking not of the next game, but the next game, you kind of take your eye off the ball, as it were.
Yeah, of course. And especially with where at least the top three are sitting just now points-wise. So it's in our hands, it's in our control on how like we end up at the end of the season or in the next game. So it's about taking that confidence and belief in each other and us as a team and taking that onto the pitch. But it's close, we know it's close, but like I've just said, it's up to us and how we control that.
So is it strange at all having the free weekend? I know your week's totally structured around getting ready for a game at the weekend, and obviously there was the cup final at the weekend and there was no other fixtures. Was that a strange or a welcome break?
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone kind of needed a break, especially coming into the split. We're playing games on Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday in a few weeks, so it's very full on. And I think now the league's changed in a way that it is the top three just now competing for it, and we're 1 point behind. So much can happen within one game. So I know it is very cliche, but it is just one game at a time. So I think the weekend was well deserved, and yeah, we're looking forward to Glasgow City this weekend.
And is it just a case then that you just totally relax, that you just don't want to do anything because it's such a rarity that you can actually just put your feet up, as it will?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's what it is just now, like at training, just putting your head into it. And then once you're away, just like chill, relax, don't even think about it. But then when we're on the pitch, it's all go, it's focus and it's business. But apart from that, like, we just need to keep our focuses as a team and don't let any outside noise come in.
Yeah, I think last week we were mentally exhausted. We put so much into the Rangers game, and then coming into training the week after, like, a lot of the girls were
feeling it
and mentally exhausted. So that weekend was probably perfect timing for us to get focused again and ready to go.
And I suppose the same thing is going to happen this weekend, Easter Sunday, 4:10 on Sunday afternoon at Petershill Park, Glasgow City. You know, you already mentioned there's only 1 point separating the top three. Everybody remembers the title race, how close it was last season. Another massive game for you guys.
Of course, like you've just said, about all the cliche and everything's one game at a time, but realistically, every game for us right now is a cup final going forward. So we just need to concentrate and focus on that. But at the same time, we know what we can do. And we felt it last season with the league getting took off us within like what seconds. So we don't want to feel that again. So I think we've always kept that pain and we've took that onto this season and we're trying to make it right.
One of the things, and I'm going to, this is the first of my shameless plugs for the next issue of the Celtic View, which comes out this week. And this is just a mock-up cover. It contains interviews with one of your teammates, Tash Flint, but also your coach, Elena Sadiku. And one of the things, you know, when she started, took over, it was, and she says in the interview, it was a baptism of fire because the first two games were the games against Rangers and then Glasgow City. But I was looking at, obviously, the last game against Glasgow City, that was at Petershill Park. It was a narrow 1-0 defeat. But since then, we've been on this great run. I think it's 6 wins and 1 draw. We're back there this weekend. So you guys must be pleased again with the way the progress has been under the new coach.
Yeah, there's been a lot of change. And I think we really felt that change in the first two games. We changed a wee bit of formation. We changed a bit of our style of play. And I think you could see that. In those two games, we weren't performing to our full potential, and that's how City got that 1-0 win. And like for me, I'm still hurting over that defeat because it just wasn't our best game. And I'm excited to see what the game will be like on Sunday when, as you say, we've got our momentum back. And yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I think the important thing is that we know ourselves that it wasn't our best game. So when we have took that into weeks after that, like we know that we need to up it and we know that we're better than that. So I think we're starting to prove that now, but it's just keeping that run on.
Yeah, because I suppose we were talking there about not looking back or not looking too far ahead, but you know, you both kind of touched on the fact that sometimes disappointments serve as a brilliant motivation because, you know, in terms of the overall league campaign, to your point, Chloe, we don't want to go through that pain, which was extraordinary, but that must have been absolutely heartbreaking for you as a team. But even just more recently, that Glasgow City game, you want to put that right?
Yeah.
Of course, I always think it's a hard game at Petershill, no matter what team it is that you're playing. It's an awkward pitch, and when you've got the weather, it's probably the worst game that you want to play in.
Playing against two teams.
Yeah. But I wouldn't necessarily say both teams played that well. I think it was just what side you got and where the wind was going, yeah, to be honest.
It was a scrap.
Yeah. I don't think it really showed the standard of both teams, to be honest. So at the same time, we're not taking it to heart, but the little points that we are, because and at the end of the day, the little things are the big ones.
Yeah. Now looking, and I'm going to look slightly ahead, only because I want to let people know, and I'm sure a lot of people already know, that the team's going to be playing at Celtic Park twice. Before now and the end of the season. The first of those games is on Sunday, April the 21st. It's a 4:10 p.m. kickoff. To let MD know, if you had bought a ticket for the game at Ibrox, the one that the Celtic fans weren't allowed in, obviously people will be refunded, but you're also entitled to a free ticket for this game against Hearts on Sunday, April the 21st. You can go along to the ticket office and get your ticket. You can also get it online, although I think there's a booking fee. And also the last game of the season is going to be a home game here on May the 19th against Hibernian. The kickoff time still to be confirmed, but again, thinking back to those amazing experiences last season, how much are you both looking forward to these games at Celtic Park?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I think it was 2 years ago actually today that Hibs against Celtic.
Oh, was that?
You guys beat us 4-0 or something.
Yeah, I actually have that in my notes. I wasn't sure whether to mention it because
yeah,
you were obviously...
Yeah, you can.
I don't mind bringing that one up.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And even when I was at Hibs and my family were there, and yeah, it was a great day. The weather was there, the fans were there, they were singing. It was a good performance from you guys. But I'm really looking forward to it, to play there as a Celtic player. I've not done that in a few years, I don't think.
No.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And as you say, the league's so close now, so every game is a cup final, and yeah, I'm buzzing.
For me, being a Celtic fan, it's probably the best place that I want to play, walk out that tunnel. Regardless if you're on the pitch or if you're on the bench or in your stand, you're still as important as the people that are on the pitch. But walking out to hearing the Celtic fans that have followed us throughout the seasons, and the ones that are just starting to come now that have realised like how good that we are, it just gives us that belief like in ourselves. But they really are our 12th man when it comes down to the nitty and gritty. But there's no other stadium that I would want to play in, and I'm just thankful that we get the opportunity.
Yeah, it's a really good initiative as well. The ones who missed the Rangers game got a free ticket straight away, so obviously it wasn't ideal what happened with the Rangers game, but that's a perfect opportunity to come and support us. And we're looking forward to it.
And I think if you think of the crowds that we got last season for the games, and again, I'm guessing you would have, you know, won over a few new fans that people maybe hadn't had that experience of watching the team play, you know, really exciting games. And I think what you're hoping for is that happens again, because you obviously want to play in that big stage, but you also want as many fans as possible to be there to support the team.
Of course, we do get a good enough crowd at Airdrie, but when it comes to Parkhead, they come out in their numbers, to say the least, and we definitely do hear them, to the point where we can't even hear ourselves on the pitch speaking to each other.
Plus, Celtic's obviously in a brilliant location for everyone to access. Obviously, Airdrie's a wee bit further out, but they still come out. But I'm excited to see them at Celtic Park.
Yeah,
because one of the things I think has been really encouraging, if you look at the Women's Premier League down in England, is it seems to be quite a regular thing now of some of the big games being played at the Emirates, the Etihad, Stamford Bridge, Old Trafford, etc. That, and the crowds that they're getting. And I think if you can get into that habit and fans start to kind of see you playing in that stage, then they'll come out regularly as well, and then you hope that then there's that knock-on effect of they'll then go to the Excelsior as well.
Of course, it's great, especially with how the women's football is going. That's like the kind of path what they're trying to look for, and especially with semi-finals and cup finals now at Hampden, so it's definitely going in the right direction, and it's what we're here for. We never used to have that when we were younger, but now having the privilege to be able to step out on these iconic stadiums, it is amazing. But it's only one step. We've still got a lot to go, but at the same time, we just need to take it and embrace it.
Even to be the role models to young girls, like, we never had that growing up. We never had big games where we could go with our families and with our friends. It was like one Scotland game at Falkirk Stadium.
Yeah.
And you'd get like maybe 50 fans.
I don't even remember when I was that young that there was a Celtic women's team.
No, I couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, so yeah, it's special for us to be those role models for kids and young boys as well, and just families. So yeah, I'm buzzing.
I think it's weird when people say, oh, you're my hero and role model. And I'm like, I'm just any ordinary girl. Like, this will probably be you in like a few years' time. But I think it is. You don't really like appreciate it at the time, but then see when you're away from it, you're like, wow, look, this is quite cool.
I suppose it's exactly what you're saying. When you were growing up, you maybe didn't have those role models. You didn't have the league structure. You didn't have the pathway. You know, I always think of that phrase of, if you see it, you can be it. And so for all the young girls who have always supported Celtic, before there was never that opportunity, because they maybe have the heroes that played for the men's team, but now, as you say, that they've got the heroes that are playing for the women's team, and then they can also be supporters, but then they can think, well, maybe one day I could be Chloe Craig or Colette Kavanagh, whoever, you know, that. And that's the reality of, like, I'd say in 5-10 years' time, will be the next generation of players will be name-checking you, your team, because you use with inspiration.
Yeah, that was kind of how I came out as in. So obviously I'm a Celtic supporter, but at the time my heroes were like Henrik Larsson. And then it got into the Celtic women's do have a women's team, and I was like, all right, okay. And then it was like Suzanne Grant, Rhonda Jones, and then it got to the point where I did get a trial, and I'm walking past like at Barrowfield, like in the cage, and I'm like, wow, like that's those that I've seen on the TV, or I've seen, like, I went to a game on a Sunday to watch them at first play for Scotland, and now to be where they were and having little girls like look at you like that, it's been a journey. But I think it's just something that we need to embrace, like I've said, but we also need to give ourselves credit for, because we are the shadow that we once wanted to be.
Have you ever seen anybody at the games with like your name and number on the back of the jersey? And what that must be a really strange experience.
I first seen it at Hibs, which back then, like, football wasn't my full-time job. So it was a surreal moment to see that at Hibs, but now being full-time at Celtics, hearing the fans sing a song, a few songs about me, which I won't sing on the podcast, and then have my name on their jersey, yeah, it means a lot, and I didn't ever think that people would buy that and support me, but here they are.
I know. It's just like the little things, like even like jumpers or like postcards or... like, I don't know, like Caitlin Hayes, when they've got like the pre-wrap, like yeah. It's just like the little things that they take to heart that we don't really think is like a big thing. So I think that's just what we just need to like keep providing them with and keep providing them with the belief that they could be where we're sitting.
Because you always see it, I always think, which is a really nice thing, is there's a lot of interaction with the fans after each game. And I think those small moments of, like, it's only 10 seconds, 20 seconds out of your time to get a picture or sign something or just say hello. That's something that sticks with young fans, and as I say, as they're getting older, then they're maybe able to kick a ball about, or they want to join a team, or because then they want to emulate their heroes.
I do think our games are like huge family events. Everyone comes within their family, and after every game, we try to speak to every fan. At the end of the game, we sign the same notepad, we take
same
photos
pictures,
the like, same fans every single game. The amount of pictures that they have of us, I don't know.
No.
But yeah, it's amazing, and to be a part of it, it's really special.
Yeah, I do think it's good to give back because they follow us everywhere, even in like when we're in the Champions League, like they come in their numbers, like I said before, and even if it's home or away, no matter if it's raining or if it's scorching, they're always there. So I think it's important for us to give back to them because they've helped us a long way through this season.
And kind of like to your point as well, that if, you know, when you were younger, if there had been a Celtic women's team, both of you would have been in those crowds, cheering on those players, thinking, right, I want to be where they are. So I suppose it's only natural that you want to, you kind of acknowledge where, how far you've come from and how far, I suppose still how far the team's still to go, but it's on the right path.
Yeah, definitely on the right path in terms of like media as well, being accessible online and being on platforms where everyone across the world can see, and having our games on Sky Sports, like that's mad. And I don't think I would have ever believed that I'd be on Sky Sports.
I think it's a bit, for me, it's like when it's the same commentators that are doing the men's football with the women's football, and I'm like, yeah, and I'm just like, wow. Like,
I still quote him.
Yeah. What's your quote?
Here, there and everywhere.
I just think it's like a massive step for us, just not as a club, but as a football journey in the whole of women's football. But
he commentated our game against Glasgow City.
What did he?
Yeah, the 2-1 game. That's what we're there and everywhere.
That
is.
Game. That was a good game. But no, it's amazing to see that our profile is somewhat near as what the guys is. We're getting what they get. Obviously there's a lot more to come from that, but it's going the right direction, like I said before. But yeah, just need to keep on pushing and keep trying to grow us as a team and the game.
I mean, you're probably in a unique position in terms of the Celtic setup, having, you know, been here throughout the whole time and seen how far it's kind of developed, and you know the success we're now getting, you know, in terms of the silverware and, you know, pushing for titles and stuff like that. And again, do you ever allow yourself to kind of think back to when you first came to the club, or do you think that's something that's only at some point in the future when you finally hang up the boots that you'll think back at the journey you've been on and the journey that Celtic have been on?
I think it's something that I actually really reflect on quite a lot. When we get new kit, like when I first started out, we never even had a Celtic badge on our kit. It was at this time at Nike we were with, and it was just like a green top with a black Nike badge. Like that was it. And you didn't really feel part of the club, and we would never have access to the changing rooms, the facilities where we get our food, like Barrowfield. Like it was always like school playgrounds that we were always like, well, school pitches that we were training on. And it's came a massive long way, to say the least. Like I don't think I can actually ever explain how, I don't want to say bad, but how it was then to now. But that's just the backing of the club and their belief that we can go and grow us as a team and as a club. But
it's quite nice as well to know that where you've came from
yeah.
and where you are now, it almost like keeps
it is humble. A massive achievement. 100% a massive achievement, and it's good, and I like that I've seen it from the start to now, and that I'm one of the lucky ones to have seen through it all and come through all the age groups.
Yeah, and like the young ones who are in, they've had it good, like the young ones, they've experienced professionalism as it has been just now.
Yeah, it's developed,
Whereas we've seen it from...
We've had to work for it, if you know what I mean. Like, it's, professionalism is more a, like, an occurrence, if you know what I mean. Like, you don't really get much, or you're just training. It's, if you get a contract, you're full-time, you're professional. So it's quite good to be able to say that you've worked to be where you are, and you've not just been given it just by chance or by luck.
Because I remember a few years ago, and I'm sure it was Hamilton played, which was the very first game the Celtic women's team played at Barrowfield, which was a big moment and going along to Barrowfield to see that, because you just felt it was, obviously, as you touched on, it's the start of a long journey, but, you know, we've come a long way. Barrowfield, for example, is, you know, going to get this new development, which, again, you know, once it's all finished, that's a base for the team on match days, but non-match days as well, which will be exciting.
I think that's huge for us to have, like, a home venue. Obviously, Airdrie's our home pitch, and it's a great pitch, but to have our home venue of training, like, brilliant facilities all in one place. Right now, we're travelling to and from Celtic Park, which is still great, but to
just something, it's something to call ours.
Yeah.
Like Cav just said, like, Airdrie is great, but it's not got, like, our homely touch. Great pitch and great staff and stuff like that, but when Barrowfield's up and running, that's when, like, it'll hit home that this is ours.
Home pitch, so.
But it's going to be our home, like, it's going to be our home training.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be our little piece of our puzzle.
I also think as well, you know, you'll know better than me in terms of just even the training, the fact that you can see Celtic Park in the background. So it's a kind of, I suppose that's that connection then with the stadium, and, you know, you hope more and more as each season goes on, you're going to be playing more and more games at the stadium as well.
Of course, I always do remember, like, when we're training on a Saturday morning, you can hear the music blaring through Celtic Park, and it just hits home, like, that's a massive crowd that we could potentially be playing, like, amongst. So I think that gives you, like, the little urge, as much as people probably don't want to admit that, like, you get, like, that little, like, goosebumps. But I certainly do, like, I don't mind admitting that, but I think realistically that the crowds are what we want to try and get in to fill up this park and be able to walk out in front of them.
What's the capacity of Celtic Park?
60,000.
60? Yeah.
Oh,
imagine,
so we got that's the aim, that's the goal, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Andy, who's listening and watching, try and make that happen on Sunday, April the 21st, 4:10 p.m. here at Celtic Park, and get as many fans along to that as
possible. You'll give away your
possible.
Boots if that happens, yeah. Won't you?
Depends, I'm a bit superstitious.
Oh yeah, I'll give away mine then.
Before we came on air, there was the news just broke. Obviously, after this weekend's game, next weekend is going to be an international break. Scotland have got two games, I think, against Serbia and Slovakia, and Amy Gallagher's been called up to the squad again, which, you know, is great for the club and great for, you know, for her on a personal level. But I think, you know, any time a Celtic player gets called up for the national team, I think it reflects really well on the squad.
Yeah, I think Amy G's had a brilliant season. She's been scoring a lot of goals for us and been performing so well and even trained so well. So, yeah, it's a credit to her that she's been called up. And as you say, it's really special to see a Celtic player in that Scotland team, along with the likes of Claire Emsley, Erin Cuthbert, like top WSL players. So, yeah, I'm buzzing for her.
She does deserve it. She's worked hard for it. And I think she's proven that with the amount of goals and the assists that she's got this season and with her work rate. So I think it's a massive achievement. And for us as teammates, we're always proud to see someone being in their national setup. But yeah, it's a achievement to us as well, because I feel as if, like, we're the ones that push them as well as they push us. So I think that just shows that they're heading in the right direction.
And is this the point of the podcast that it's going to be her favourite bit to watch and listen back to then, when you're just talking her up?
No, she'll be giving us money for this afterwards.
Or a border biscuit.
But I mean, is that something as well, both of you, because obviously you're playing at the highest level in this country, you know, we're challenging for trophies in two fronts this season, that is there still some part of you thinking, well, you're in that public eye that, you know, the national manager's coming and watching our games. You can, you know, you never know whether you're going to catch his eye and get a call up yourselves.
Yeah, it's such a competitive squad, and I think it's good to just keep pushing. And for me, I don't know about you, but I'm just focusing on my club and giving all that I can for the club, and then whatever happens with Scotland happens. But it is way, way, way far away from me just now. But yeah, I'll focus on the club and hopefully the rewards will come.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think with me, it's just club. If Scotland was to come knocking at the door, of course, you would never say no to them. But I'm always a person like, if something comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. All we can do is work hard for club. We're doing our best for club, and if that's good enough for national, then it's good enough for them. Then I'm sure they would come knocking. But for right now, club, yeah.
And an exciting end to the season. Obviously, you know, as I said, we're chasing trophies on two fronts. We're right in the heart of this title race, and we've also got a Scottish Cup semi final to look forward to at Hampden as well. So, you know, it's going to be a busy time, but that's what you want as a professional footballer. You want to be in the mix in these every competition.
Of course, they're the games that you want. That's why we're here. It's the games that you want to be involved in. And I think that weekend there with the final, it kind of brought that sort of, like, not heart, but it's like weirdness of, oh, we're not in that final. Like, that should be us type of thing. And that's not being like big-headed or anything like that. I think we did maybe let ourselves down in some areas. But I think the feeling of not being there and being able to win the trophies in previous seasons, it just drives you that hunger. Like, you don't want to miss out on another one. And there's also another one coming up in a few weeks. And that just, for me, personally, walking out at Hampden, obviously against Rangers, like, there's no really any bigger fixture than that, to be honest. But no, listen, we'll just keep our heads down and we'll try and make the right ones. But yeah,
you just touched on the cup final. I was just going to touch on it briefly. Obviously, Rangers beat Partick Thistle 4-1 to win the cup. But there was a wee bit of fallout after the game. A lot of really unfair criticism for the Partick Thistle goalkeeper, Ava Easton, who's just 17. She's just starting out. I think she's part time starting out in her career. I know she played against us a few weeks ago. Is that just, in general terms, a frustration from people coming from a point of real ignorance, criticising, you know, players that are just starting on their career? But also the fact that I think sometimes people don't appreciate, understand, or have any knowledge of the women's game in general?
I think that's the biggest one, the knowledge of the women's game. Ava's such a young keeper, 17 I think, mm-hmm. And she's had some brilliant performances against Rangers in the
and
game
us.
And us, where she managed to get a draw for Partick Thistle against Rangers, so that was a big result and she was outstanding. And it's just the context, like, she's a schoolgirl, she's doing this part-time, a lot of the teams in our league are part-time, so they're not at the same physical level as us who are training full time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a wee bit of misunderstanding.
I think it's easy for people to say, yeah, we play the same game as what men do, and I know, like, the standard isn't the same, like, and I don't think it ever will be. But at the same time, I think people need to remember that these are, like, young girls, they are grown up, and the people that are saying the criticism, I'm pretty sure they might have, like, daughters of their own and, or have, I don't know, like, nieces or something like that are wanting to play the sport or look to certain individuals as role models, like we said. I think they need to remember, like, that's what they'll be looking up, regardless if you want to play football or if it's tennis or anything. They're still going to be role models, but I think people will don't understand the knowledge of the women's game. Yeah, you might have played football, you might not have played football. Everybody's got their opinion, but if it's not going to be positive, then why bother saying anything?
It's difficult for keepers as well. They make a mistake, it leads to a goal, whereas we're lucky, I've got a line of defence.
Yeah.
If I make a mistake, which happens very often.
But then nobody goes out to make a mistake, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's people that have probably caused, like,
but there'll be
cup goalkeepers finals
in the men's game every single week at all levels, making unbelievable mistakes, but the level of criticism is not, it's a different type of criticism, and I don't understand that, because it's almost holding goalkeepers in the women's game to a different standard. But you know, you wouldn't utterly slaughter some young goalkeeper in the men's game to the same way, which I find really disappointing.
Of course, I think people just jump on the bandwagon to try back themselves up with maybe previous things that they've said. But it's not really a nice look if that's the kind of age group that you're targeting, especially
I think
on...
the age group's massive. As women, I think we're always under scrutiny for performances, for like just being on a platform where...
If somebody was to say something to me, I wouldn't even look twice at it, but it's for someone that... at that age, it's going to affect them, and especially being all over social media, like, it's not great. Like, she's a really good player, and she'll probably come up to be one of the best keepers in Scotland.
We've had a few negative comments after poor performances, and it's really affected me. So
I'm one of those ones, like, it is what it is. Like, you don't go out there to make a mistake, you go out there to do your best, and if you make a mistake, you just need to hold your hands up to it and go out there and just keep going.
Yeah, I'm like, just excited for Ava to prove me wrong and have an amazing season. So,
Well, best of luck to her, except when Celtic, of course. I mentioned earlier that I was going to be plugging the Celtic View again. It's coming out this week, packed full of interviews with Brendan Rodgers, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Tomoki Iwata, Brian McClair, Lawrence Tyne, who is a two-time Super Bowl winner, also a big Celtic fan. I mentioned we speak to Elena Sudiko and also Tash Flint. There's plenty in there for you, as well as loads of features. So if you look in the Celtic stores from Wednesday, then you'll be able to get a copy of the Celtic View. Just finally, just come back to this weekend. Obviously, Easter Sunday, everybody will be loaded up in Easter eggs, apart from the Celtic squad. But once they've done that, they've had the Easter egg hunt, where else to go but Petershill Park to cheer on Celtic? It's going to be a big game, and I know this week the focus on training will just be on making sure they're absolutely ready come that kick-off on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, we've got a wee bit of revenge to do at Petershill, as Chloe said. It's a really difficult park to play on. Hopefully the wind's not there. But yeah, we are focused and we're ready, and hopefully we get the 3 points.
Of course, it's like I've said before, it's tight at the top of the table, so we know it's going to be a hard game, and we know what we can do to push us over the line, but it's also in our hands, so it's up to us, and I'm pretty sure that we'll go out there and do our best, and hopefully we'll get the 3 points.
Well, fingers crossed. Best of luck on Sunday, and also for the rest of the campaign, both in the league and in the Scottish Cup. And remember, there's plenty of games to go along and cheer the team on, including those two games at Celtic Park. All the details are on the Celtic website. Thanks for joining us on the official Celtic FC podcast. Remember, you can like, rate and review us. That always helps wherever you get your podcasts. And join us again when we'll be speaking to Celtic players past, present and future. Hail, hail.